I'd like to turn with me to Psalm number 8, page 546 of the Pew Bible. It is amazing how much we take for granted. The things that we just expect to be there, the things that we expect to be done, the people that we expect to be there. And it's only when those things aren't there that we begin to think about them. It's really only when you turn the tap on the water doesn't come that we begin to think, oh, yeah, I've sort of got used to the fact that there's always water there. There's always clean water available. And we can so quickly forget it. I know when Heather and I, after living in Kenya for a couple of years, came back home, we had the only water supply we had in our little house was water that we could save off the roof when it rained, when kept in a rain tank. And just as we might put a padlock on our oil tank here, there you put a padlock in your water tank because it was so precious. And for a while after we came home, we were so careful with taps being turned off and no water being wasted, but we quickly forget, we quickly take it for granted. And it's only when it's not there that we think about it. We come into a room, we flick a switch, and we just assume the light will come on, and when it doesn't, or when it goes off in the middle of a storm, then we think, oh, I've sort of got used to that. Just assume it's going to be there. And the sad thing is, it's not just things that we take for granted. How many people do we take for granted? People who are just always there, and we assume they will always be there, and we never actually take the time to say thank you. We never actually take the time to say how much what they do is appreciated. It is so easy to take people and things for granted. I don't think we ever set out to do that. I don't think we ever set out just to assume that all these things will just be set in front of us. It just happens over time. And we assume all these things. So, how do we get over that? As I read through this Psalm 8, those words right in the middle of the psalm struck me. And it's just these three words, when I consider. This is the psalmist looking at the beauty of creation, at the majesty of God and creation, and in the middle of it he says, when I consider. According to the dictionary, to consider something is to think carefully about it or to look attentively at it. So if you're going to consider something, you're thinking about it carefully or you're looking attentively at it. And the suggestion is it just takes time. Not something you can do quickly, not something that you do once and that's it over and done with. We think about it carefully. We look at it attentively. Now, I don't know whether David was taking things for granted whenever he wrote, when I consider. I don't know whether he was taking things for granted or not. He would have known the biblical accounts of creation. He would have known about the God whom he served, the God whom he loved. This God was the God who ordered creation. David would have known all of that. But this time, for whatever reason, thinking carefully, looking attentively, considering, he just takes in his present experience of the world around him. It was obviously a bright, clear light, and in David's days, they didn't struggle with light pollution. The dark sky was always there for looking at those stars, and you can imagine David. You can imagine him being out somewhere where he is just in awe at the number of stars in the sky, the vastness, the beauty, stretching from one horizon right across to the other horizon. Just the magnificence of it. And he stops. And he thinks about it carefully. And he looks at it attentively. And he sees not just this beautiful night sky, he sees the very glory of God reflected in the beauty of the moon and the stars. The stars are amazing, but you have set your glory above the heavens. And as David looks at this, when he considers this vastness, this beauty, he sees beyond it to the God who put it in place, to the God whose glory is set above the heavens. I wonder what you see when you consider, when you look attentively, when you think carefully. I hope you see a beautifully decorated church, because that's what it is. I hope also you see reminders of yet another good harvest, because that's what it is. But I hope also that as you look attentively and listen carefully, you will see beyond the beauty, beyond the bounty, to the very glory of God in creation. So when you consider not just this beauty, but the world around you, do you see the glory of God? A couple of windows over here. Somebody came in this morning and said, "Oh dear, has there been a problem with that window? The red tape on it?" Have a look at it afterwards. They're beautifully done. When you consider the damage that we do to the world around us, when you listen carefully, when you look attentively, how do you respond? When you consider that 2/3 of this world are on the verge of starvation, when you think carefully, when you look attentively, how do you respond? Sometimes we just throw up our hands. I can't make a difference to this mess. I can't make a difference to the millions who are hungry, who have no homes, who face disease. I can't make a difference. Or are you determined to make a difference? Bob Cummings told us the story a couple of weeks ago of a man walking on the beach, and he sees another man bending down and throwing something back into the sea and bending and throwing it back in. And as the first man walks along the beach, he notices it's just littered with starfish. And the man is bending and picking them up and throwing them back in again. And the first man says, "You're wasting your time. It'll not make a difference. There are so many." He bent, picked one up and threw it in and said, "It'll make a difference to that one." Let's not shrug our shoulders. Let's not throw up our hands in despair. What can I do? What difference can I make? Let's make the difference that we can make. That's one of the reasons why we have the appeals for today. Through supporting these appeals, you can make a difference. But it's just a start. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that we can put a few pounds into an envelope and put it in a plate and that's my bit done. When you consider the state of this world, when you consider that many of your brothers and sisters in Christ around this world are on the edge of starvation, let's not throw up our hands and say, "I can't do it." Let's make a difference. God's people, above all other people, should be those who care for creation. If we really believe this is God's creation, we should be the people out there championing the protection and care of our environment. We should be the people out there who are first in to make a difference when life was really tough. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We should care for this world and its people because it reflects the very majesty and glory of God. The very majesty and glory of God should be seen in this world. So as his people, we should care for it. But it's interesting, the psalmist sees not only God's glory in creation, the psalmist sees his place in it as well. Again, just confronted with his vastness, with his majesty, with his beauty, with his glory, he's left just feeling so small, so small. I remember visiting one of the Japanese gardens, I think it was in Killarney, one of those gardens that have all these lovely swirls of gravel all around them and carefully planted. And right in the middle was a huge stone. And the idea of that huge stone was that as you walked around it, as you looked at it, you began to think, look at how secure, look at how unmovable that stone is. Look at how wonderful that stone is. Look at how great that stone is. And as you looked at that, you and your problems got gradually smaller and smaller. Friends, we don't look to a stone. We look to the very glory of God. The psalmist looks at all this majesty around him and simply says, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? So the psalmist, when he considers, sees not just the glory of God, but the very grace of God. In the vastness, in the beauty, in the intricacy, in the majesty of creation, God reaches down to these little human beings. Almost a speck in creation, God reaches down in his grace in Jesus Christ. What's man that you're mindful of him? In the midst of all of this, how come you remember man? How come that you care for him? Reaching out, crowning the human race with almost godlike glory, giving authority over creation. Those verses 6-8, you made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all that swim the paths of the sea. We have authority. Authority not to oppress or destroy or exploit, but authority to be wise stewards of all that God has given to us. Made in the very image of God to reflect his glory. The psalmist sees both the glory of God and the grace of God. You go right back to the beginning of scriptures, back to Genesis 1, and you discover there that all that God created was good, perfect. And yet a couple of chapters later in Genesis 3, that perfection is gone. That being totally good, perfectly good, is gone because sin has now come into the world in what we call the fall. All of creation is distorted and marred by that fall. That's why we see creation groaning around us. And yet the New Testament looks forward to that time when creation itself will be renewed, a new heaven, a new earth, when all of the wrongs are put right, when everything is restored. The psalmist looks at this world, when I consider, I see the very glory of God. When I consider, I see the very grace of God. And for us, we see this grace of God supremely in Jesus, who is the greatest of all good gifts around us. He's the only way out of our sin problem. Yes, Jesus does want to be your friend and to walk with you, but more than that, he is the only one who can rescue us from our sinfulness and lead us into that glorious future. He is the one in whom this world will be renewed and recreated. He is the one who holds the future out for us. So, take time. Take time to consider. Take time to consider creation. Maybe it is just a walk around the church at the end of the service. Don't rush away. Look at the beautiful displays. Look carefully. Listen attentively. See the very glory of God. See also the grace of God extended to you in Jesus Christ. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May those words be on our lips as we look around here, maybe today as you walk along the shore, as you enjoy creation. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And to him be all praise and glory. The choir are going to lead us again with a thanksgiving hymn.